We sure do want to say goodbye to 2020 and welcome to 2021. We learned a lot about ourselves and we accomplished a lot, but we sure endured a lot.
It's been a very difficult year, has it not, Steve? And I'm ready to say goodbye to 2020, and I hope those kind of things don't come back to this community or to our country. I am looking forward to the new year. 2021, got a lot of things that will be happening this year. It becomes the municipal election year, and folks, including myself and other commissioners and people that like to serve on the board, will have to be making those kind of decisions as to whether they'll be offering themselves up for election as we go into the summer months.
And, of course, in 2021, we'll start a whole new budget session and what we need to focus on.
January becomes the budget planning season for communities, including Highlands. The commissioners and the staff will be in conversations. I will be talking to the town manager and some of his department heads about what are the future needs for the community and what do we need to address in the budget. In March, normally, we have our town retreat, which is an all-day retreat where the town board and the town staff come together and we go over all those issues. For example, Lester Norris, the director of recreation, will do a presentation about his assessment of where we are in the recreation department and what we need to fund. Same thing with Lamar Nix in public works. Our police chief, Chief Holland, will be doing a presentation about law enforcement needs. I mean, that will be an all-day retreat. And from that discussion and interaction, then the town manager will start developing a proposed budget. He will then call for what we call budget workshops that usually occur in the afternoon. The town manager develops a final draft budget, which the town board will review and approve in June after a public hearing. Last year, because of the COVID crisis, we delayed implementing several items which I thought were really important. We had a proposal that would cost, I believe, $150,000, $175,000 to replace all the streetlights with these new modern LED lights, which can be dimmed or increased. For example, some neighborhoods where people have bedrooms near the streetlights, they can easily adjust them. And it's a green technology that we need to embrace. So I hope that those kind of things from last year that were delayed will be funded in this coming budget. And then there are other items that I think are just part of initiative that we've already started. And the big one would be
paving.
A few years ago, we were, in fact, I think behind the eight ball on paving. And over the last few years, we have taken money that we had earmarked for recreation through a tax increase about 6 years ago. It was 1.5 cents per hundred, and it went to recreation. We met all the goals we needed to meet with improving the rec park. And last year, the town board decided not to eliminate that tax, but to simply divert it to a paving fund for roads. So every year we should have about $250,000 in that account. And while we've done a lot of road paving, for example, about five projects in 2020, there are more roads that need to be paved. One of the things that I would like to see us do, and I know some people don't agree, but to pave the unpaved roads that we have, for example, Upper Lake, Lower Lake, Old Satula Road. I know some people say, well, what's the need? It helps cut down on washout and sedimentation in our lakes and our rivers and other areas. And also, it's very cost effective in that we can be constantly scraping these roads down, trying to level them. And we're just one big rainstorm from having to redo it. I'm an advocate for, wherever possible, paving unpaved roads, simply because it addresses a real growing issue, and that is sedimentation in the community.
Well, you're all about planning, and Brad Armstrong, the head of the planning board, he's got some new members, and he requested that, you know, we need some education. Could you help us out on that?
Brad and the planning board, they suggested to the town manager and to myself, they would like to have some information, if you will, education about the issues of planning. So we will be working with the School of Government to bring in some resources to work with the planning board to help them have a broader view of planning. Also, we will be having different department heads, including myself, meeting with the planning board during the first of the year to go over what are the issues in, for example, public works. What are the issues in the planning office of Highlands and zoning. I think it's going to be a very important and a very positive process of working with the planning board, getting them the information and knowledge that they would like to have.
There are caveats and contingencies, but we're hoping maybe June, July, that this broadband will be pretty much completed.
Here's what our goal is, that we can get that contract signed with Hotwire. They will be putting in an office in Highlands and hiring staff. And then they will light up the network and start taking customers. And hopefully at the first of the year, that becomes a reality. There is one part of it that I want to address, and that is building the underground portion. About 18% of the residential areas have underground utilities. From the beginning of developing this concept of a fiber optic network, we realized that that would have to be the second phase of this project. Putting the aerial fiber up was relatively fast and inexpensive, although it did cost $4.6 million. Putting underground fiber to these residential areas can be very expensive. Some people estimate it to be 4 to 5 times the cost of putting an aerial line in. So Hotwire has agreed as a part of their proposal, and this was a requirement we had, that they will build the underground portion of the network. Now, they've said it might take as long as 3 years. I hope that it can be done sooner. I've talked with Jonathan Bullock, and others have, and Jonathan is the lead person with Hotwire. And one of the things that they said, they do not do quick micro-trenching, which is less expensive. They actually do underground conduit. The folks at Hotwire have discovered that places like have Google Cities where they've done the micro-trenching, it doesn't last long and it creates problem. In some of these communities, they've had to pull up the micro-trenching and put in conduit. When they put that underground in, it's going to be in conduit. They feel that once you put it in conduit and run the fiber, then you have a system that will operate without many problems for years to come. The benefit of putting in the conduit and the fiber itself, it increases the value of a neighborhood or an individual home when you have that fiber to the home. Now, I've heard people say, well, we're not going to need this because Elon Musk is going to shoot up all the satellites and everything. I hope they do that. It will be helpful for the very remote rural communities, but the satellite system, it's very susceptible to weather, just like your DirecTV and other satellite television can be disrupted. And then there would be always this issue of expanding capacity. On a fiber network, we haven't really reached the bandwidth capacity that fiber can carry. So I think in the long run, when we look at this network, we'll see that it serves us for many years to come. The contract with Hotwire is 25 years, but it's a good chance that that network will be operative even beyond that period.
I would think sometime during the year we'll have to figure out how to proceed on short-term rentals with so many people buying new homes. Maybe they'll want to lease them or rent them out, and short-term rentals are a big, big problem possibly in this next year.
That is a concern that I know is in the community. In January, the community plan folks will be releasing the survey feedback and information. This is just me speaking and not the entire town board. I'm just always giving my opinion. It's always predicated on what the board decides in the form of a vote. But I do think that we need to start planning, studying, and addressing the issue of short-term rentals in Highlands. Now, I'm not saying that I see any specific resolution, and I think that there are people in this community that share that view that it's time to start really looking at how the short-term rental business operates here in Highlands.
It has been one heck of a year, 2020, and all the things that you had to go through and the board had to go through, and we are ending that year on a positive note.
We're ending it on a positive note, I think, because we do have the vaccines available. I hope that those vaccines are successful. And more than that, I hope that when people have the opportunity to take the vaccine, that they will do so. I think that'll help us get back to a more normal operation in our economy and also in our social interactions. For me, that has been something that has really taken its toll, and that is not being able to see people in groups and have that dynamic of people talking together, meeting together face to face, and having things like our churches having their normal services and our schools operating without the worry of an outbreak of COVID. All of those things are so important. Having a restaurant where you can go in and enjoy a great meal without having to wear a mask. I'm hopeful that at some point in 2021, we will kind of get over this pandemic issue to where we can start moving toward a more normal lifestyle. We're all going to have to work together. And then, Steve, you're right. I look back on 2020. We were under that state of emergency. The governor was issuing his orders. It's easy to look back and say, we shouldn't have done this, or we could have done this better. I think some things we did were just right and at the right time. I just hope for the coming year, we don't have to be dealing with those kind of issues ever again, because it was very difficult and it was really taxing on the emotions and the nerves of everyone in the community. And I understand that. And I'm hoping that our businesses and the people that work in our economy can recover as soon as possible from this traumatic event.